With you. Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. Today we begin our three-week pre-Lent time, time to kind of ease our way into our Lenten season, a time to focus on who we are and why we are as Bible-believing Christians. The Jesima Sundays, we begin our countdown. We are roughly, are you ready for this, 70 days from Easter. We pray that God would bless our journey to the cross and empty tomb. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn is number 909, Christ is Made the Sure Foundation. 909, we'll stand on the last verse of that hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3, page 184. Page 184, we'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. The propers for today are on the inside of our bulletin. Readings are on the back. Outline of our service is on the edge. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for the gifts you shower down upon us, gifts for which we are all too often not grateful, not appreciative, taking credit for ourselves. Heavenly Father, open our eyes and our hearts this day to see your abundant generosity in everything that you say and do. We thank you for forgiveness, life, and salvation. We thank you for bringing us together into your church, brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for the means of grace which create and sustain faith. And we thank you most of all for the gift of Jesus, whose life, death, and resurrection has won for us the forgiveness of sins. Heavenly Father, bless us with generous hearts this day in response to your generosity. All these things, Lord, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Hymn 909.
everywhere, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you on your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing the intro.
Glory be to God on high,
and on earth peace of his Lord. We praise, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee, Lord, thy great glory. O Lord God, heaven and earth.
Let us pray. O Lord, graciously hear the prayers of your people, that we who justly suffer the consequences of our sin may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the readings. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for Septuagesima is from Exodus chapter 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of that place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wealth, but we an imperishable. So, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Alleluia in verse.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last." This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God, God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism.
baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. Continue now with the hymn of the day, 555, Salvation Unto Us Has Come. We'll sing the first 5 verses.
In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Our text today is from the gospel lesson just read, especially this question from Jesus Christ. Do you begrudge my generosity? Thus far our text. Do you begrudge my generosity? Jesus asks that question to close the parable that he tells us in our gospel lesson for today. And since he asks, we must consider for ourselves the answer to that question. Do we begrudge the generosity of God? To begin to consider that question, we have to ask, is God generous? Of course he is. Think of all the things that he gives to you. You just confessed the Nicene Creed. You know the meaning to the Apostles' Creed and the Catechism. Look how generous God is. He gives you body and soul, eyes, ears, and all your members, your reason, and all your senses, and still takes care of them. How does he take care of them? By giving you clothing, shoes, food, drink, house, home, wife, children, land, animals, all that you have, God has generously given to you. And if that wasn't enough, God has also rescued you from sin, death, and the power of the devil by his own son's death on the cross, by his glorious resurrection. By those holy week actions, he has purchased and won you from sin, death, and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, innocent suffering and death, so that you might be his own and live under him in his kingdom. He generously saves you from sin. If that wasn't enough, he also calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies you into the holy Christian church, taking you out of the world of sorrow and sin, giving you his word and his sacraments, that you might trust in his great generosity, so that you might live in his kingdom forever. Is God generous? Yes, God is very generous. And all of these things are gifts that he gives to you. You haven't had to ask for these things, have you? You haven't had to pay for them. You haven't had to go to the store and look at shelves of God's gifts and pick out which one you want. He gives them to you by his grace before you ask, even before you deserve the gifts that he gives. God shares all that he has with you. He shares with you more generously than a parent does to a child. God gives you everything. All that you are and all that you have depend on his great generosity. But he's not just generous to you, is he? He's also generous to others. All the things that he gives to you, he also gives to the person sitting down the pew from you. All the things that he gives to you, he also shares with the person across the room that you don't like very much. All the things that he gives to you, he gives to that family member who always talks politics, to that family member who's rough, to that family member who has that sin that you know about. All the things that he gives to you, he also gives to the neighbor down the street. And the truth be told, he might even give that neighbor down the street a bigger house than he's given to you, a faster car. He might have given them more children, a bigger, greener yard. He might have arranged it so that the neighbor's tree blocks the sunlight from melting the snow off your driveway on a warm February day. Your coworker might receive the big promotion while you stay in the same station. God's able to do this. All belongs to him. But when those situations arise, oftentimes we become jealous, angry. We say the words, "That's not fair. Don't I deserve more? Shouldn't I get something better?" We begrudge our Lord's generosity in these matters. Or to say it in the way the Ten Commandments say it, we covet what our neighbor has. We understand this a little bit every year at Christmas morning, don't we? When our children open their presents. How come his Lego set has more pieces than mine? She got an iPod and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. She got a smartwatch and I got new underwear. The jealousy arises. The receiver of the gift begrudges the one who gave the gift. It's not fair. It's not that the other person got the gift. It's that we think they got a better gift, a better deal than we did. We're covetous on Christmas morning. And those actions that play out with children on Christmas morning happen in our minds as well, don't they, adults? We've just been trained to keep it to ourselves. But it's still there. Even we as adults feel this way. Jesus gives us a very clear example of this in our gospel lesson for today. A man hires laborers early in the morning to come and to work in his vineyard to get the fruit out while it's still ripe. He promises to pay him one denarius for a day's work. That is a fair day's wage at that time. And so, early in the morning, those whom he hires go to work in the vineyard, eager to earn that denarius. Later in the day, after a few hours of the workday have passed, more are hired. At lunch break, even more are hired to come and work. An hour before quitting time, more are hired. The grapes have to be brought in and harvested after all. And at the end of the day, Jewish law demands that the laborers receive their wages. The last ones hired get paid first. Everybody watches to see what they'll make. After all, they only worked for an hour. Maybe they'll get a few pennies. But the master is generous. They get paid a denarius, the amount promised. At the back of the lines, the ones who worked all day long see this and they start to think, "I bet I'll get more. They only worked for an hour and they made a denarius. I worked 12 hours. Maybe I'll get 12 denarii." The next group gets paid a denarius. The next group, a denarius. Finally, the ones who worked all day long. And what do they get? Exactly what they were promised. A denarius. That's not fair. We deserve more. We worked longer. We haven't gotten what we deserved. They covet more They begrudged the generosity of the giver of the gift. They compare what they've been given to others. And they self-justify the amount they think they should get. We see the same thing in the Old Testament lesson, don't we? God has brought the people of Israel out of slavery. He brought them through the Red Sea with water stacked up on either side of them. He destroyed Pharaoh's host that was chasing them. He is visibly present in a pillar of cloud and fire. And what do they say? You're trying to kill us. We don't have any water to drink. It's not fair. Dear Christian, these sorts of things happen for us all the time as well. They even happen here in the church, don't they? We look down the pew and we say, "What's that person doing here?" Because we know of some public sin that they've committed. Something looks funny about them. They don't look like they're descended from hundreds of generations of Germans or Norwegians like we are. It's not fair that they're here receiving the same thing that I'm getting. Sometimes it happens at voters' meetings. We stand up and we say, "That's a nice idea you have, but you see, my family formed this church. My grandfather helped build part of the building. I do this job here, and so your opinion isn't valid. You're too new. After 50 years, then you can have some input." Is that really how the church works? Longer lasting members have more say over those who are new? Or is it that all of us are beggars, saved by the mercy of Jesus? More seriously, it happens when we refuse to share God's generosity of forgiveness with others. It's not fair that I should have to forgive that person who sinned against me. Don't you understand what they've done? Don't you understand how much they've hurt me? How terribly they've harmed me? I cannot forgive them. I will not forgive them. It wouldn't be fair. Aren't we all forgiven sinners? Aren't we all in the same predicament? See, none of us deserve the surpassing mercy of our God. None of us deserve heaven. None of us deserve, based on our own merits, resurrection or peace with God. All of us here in this building are sinners, through and through. All of us, as sinners, deserve to die forever. But God promises to us something different. God promises mercy to to all of us. To the person down the pew, to the person across the room, to the person of the other political party, to the family member you despise, to the person overseas, to the long-lasting members of the congregation, to the short-lasting members of the congregation. Every person is forgiven by Jesus. All of their sin is forgiven by Jesus. Christ died once for all. The person that you're angriest at, Jesus died for. The person you love the most, Jesus died for. The person asking what you deem to be a silly question at Bible study, Jesus died for. The person that cuts you off in traffic, Jesus died for. The person you run into at the grocery store, Jesus died for. And even for you, Jesus has died for all your sin. All that you've done wrong, all the messes that you've made, Christ has died for that sin. God has promised generous forgiveness, eternal life, and mercy. Will you begrudge his generosity? Christ has died and rose again. Dear Christian, act like that's the truth. He's died for you. He's died for all. That's the good news that we know is true as Christians. Do not begrudge anyone the mercy that Jesus wishes to give them. Do not judge them unworthy when Jesus' blood covers them. Forgive them as you have been forgiven. Rejoice that God forgives all sins, big and small, hidden and public, even for your neighbor, even for you. Rejoice that he gives his gifts to every single person in the same way, through his word, through his sacraments, here in the divine service, where he serves us and provides for us. Encourage those who do not know God's forgiveness to come here and to receive it. Be glad when that stranger sits down the pew or takes your spot in church. Be glad when sinners repent and are forgiven. Be glad when God gives the same gifts to everybody across the board. Be glad when sinners turn away from the world and enter this congregation as your brothers and sisters in Christ. Be glad that God gives his gifts to all. And pray that all might receive them, trust in them, love them, and rejoice with us in them. Be glad that God is generous. And pray that the faith in this reality might fill us all. Dear Christians, God is very generous. He gives each one of us so many things. All that we have in this world, a gift from God. The forgiveness of all of our sins, given as a gift from God. Faith in His Word, a gift from God. Do not begrudge these gifts. Rejoice and be glad in the one who gives them to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. This time our divine service continues as God serves us as we sing the offertory found on page 192. Please stand.
Be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pad at the end of each row, red or black pad, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a generous God who is generous with his Son, forgiveness, life, and salvation would be your peace and joy today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and our offerings. Please stand for the prayers of the church. In addition to those prayers that are listed in our news and notes, We pray for Good Shepherd member Mark Reinke, who was hospitalized this past week. We pray for Good Shepherd member Karen Kamen, who anticipates surgery this week. And we also remember the family of Jan Knaus, whose sister, Peggy Barnes, was called to her eternal home yesterday. We pray. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the Holy Church, that all who have been called into the vineyard of the Lord would recognize their unworthiness for such a gracious gift. Rejoice in the salvation they have in Christ and remain steadfast in the word. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors in Christ, that they would gladly preach the saving gospel to all, not counting the cost, and not for their own glory or the praise of men, but for Christ's glory alone. For all other church workers, that all they do would be in service to this same saving gospel, and for an increase in these vocations, that the Lord of the harvest would use his laborers as his blessed instruments in bringing sinners into his vineyard of his redemption and love. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our congregation, that we would love one another as Christ has loved us. Give generously to support the ministry here and abroad. Pray for our enemies. Put away all earthly grumbling and bask in the gracious provisions our Lord lavishly bestows on us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the nations of the world, that justice, peace, and the common good of all would be the goal of all those in and under authority. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those suffering or recovering from illness, especially Karen, Mark, Jan, Irma, Mark, Cecilia, Barb, James, Susan, Leanne, Todd, Dean, Lori, Pearl, John, Brooke, and all those that we remember in our hearts. For those who are sad and sorrowful, for those suffering from broken relationships or financial distress, for those to whom death draws near, and for those who are grieving, especially the family of Peggy Barnes, that Christ would be their health in sickness, their joy in sorrow, and their life in death. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who come to the table of our Lord this day, that they would receive the very body and blood of Jesus in repentance and faith, and to their abundant blessing. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the faithful who have gone before us and enjoy heavenly bliss, let us give thanks and praise that we may be brought to share with them in the feast of joy that never ends in the eternal vineyard of our Lord. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Service of the Sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
body of Christ. Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Body of Christ.
How far from God's peace and the joy your sins are forgiven.
Amen. Amen. Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Body of Christ.
the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Nunc Dimittis, page 199.
Lord, have mercy on my sins. Depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy forever.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, 923. Almighty Father, bless the word.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Kids, you can go get your goodies now and come on back in about 5 minutes or so for our Sunday school opening. Sunday school kids sang today. They'll sing at the 10:30 service too. Great job. And it's always great to have the kids sing and sing something out of the hymnal as well. That's a great gift and a great blessing. You're all invited for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We have two opportunities for Bible study today. We'll continue our look at Romans chapter 5, one of the great chapters of Scripture, in the fellowship hall. Pastor, I know we're winding down on Summary of Christian Doctrine. What are we learning today?
We're going to keep on talking about the Lord's Supper.
The Lord's Supper, and I assume we're for that?
Yes, on a regular basis.
All right, awesome. So that's room 109, Summary of Christian Doctrine, continuing the study on the Lord's Supper. Encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. All the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. Speaking of activities, thanks to everyone who worked so hard this last Tuesday night for the Pancakes for Pecan fundraiser. We had a huge, huge crowd and a great blessing. If you didn't get a chance to be here and would like to make a financial contribution, Pediatric Cancer Action Network, that's what PCAN stands for, you can make out a check and get it in the church office or get it to Corey Christensen. Also, there are sausages left over pancake feed. So if you're interested in buying some bulk sausages, talk to Corey as well. Last Sunday, we observed Sanctity of Human Life Sunday here at Good Shepherd. If you want to check out the sermon from last Sunday with that regard, encourage you to do so. Also, the Lutherans for Life, Lincoln Area Lutherans for Life display is up today. Today will be the last day for that display. Check your cubby boxes, Good Shepherd members. There's some additional Lutherans for Life member information in there. Blood drive. Not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow is our every other month Red Cross blood drive. It is a holiday, and the time is a little bit different as well. 8 o'clock until 2 o'clock, Monday the 17th. So if you can give blood, please do so, and it's a great, great gift. Pastor.
This evening, we do have our college Bible study that'll meet in room 109 of the TLEC in Seward. And then next week is also our college brunch that'll take place during the second service. So college students come for the early service, and then there'll be lunch for you, lunch, brunch, breakfast, lunch thing in the fellowship hall during second service. We do have a couple slots left, one or two for helping to serve that. If you're interested, the sign-up sheet's back there in the entryway as well.
Okay, Vickers on vacation. They're in Colorado cross-country skiing. So they should have some...
sore legs.
Interesting stories to tell when they get back. Keep them in your prayers for safe travel. I think that's all. Have a blessed day in the generosity of our Lord Jesus Christ.